This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run, 7:36 right now. I'm Melissa Idris with Ibrahim Sani and Julian Ng. Coming up in the next half an hour, we're going to be discussing Visa planning to use blockchain for cross-border payments. And Marks and Spencer's saw a 90% fall in their half-year profit. But first, Amazon could be in the crosshairs of Europe's tax man because Brussels is scrutinizing Amazon's European tax deals to determine if they constitute illegal state aid. That's benefits that could have given Amazon an unfair advantage over its rivals.
This is a continuation of the witch hunt that the European Commission is actually going after for companies that do not pay what they deem as the necessary corporate tax. So for Amazon, actually, they are considered to be a sitting duck for this EU inquiry. They stand out as potentially one of the larger targets for EU to chase after. For them to actually present some sort of an untaxed subsidiary profit of 3.39 billion euros, it means that these are just some of the sort of the untaxed proceeds that Brussels and EU is just, you know, demanding to be taken action for.
Yeah, there is a kind of presumption that these companies, especially the tech companies that have a lot of money stashed in foreign shores, are cooking up the numbers. For example, in 2015, Amazon reported a profit of almost 600 million based on revenues of about 100 billion. And that's a net margin of only 0.5%, right? Who can believe that a company, according to the authorities in the European Union, that Amazon is making such little profits? And this presumed cooking of the numbers is through something called royalties, which they pass to an offshore company, and thereby increasing the expenses, reducing profits, and reducing taxes ultimately. I think it points as much to the countries that are involved as much as the tech companies, because these countries presumably are in cahoots with these tax companies. For example, Ireland and Apple, and EU is slapping a $15 billion tax on Apple. They're fighting that. And now Amazon.
Yeah, so with the Amazon case, the EU regulators are looking specifically at Luxembourg, right? Like you said, Jules. But where does a country draw the line? So, I mean, you've got competition within the EU itself. You want to attract businesses of these tech giants because it's good for your country. So Luxembourg, I'm sure in their defense, will say, well, we're just trying to make it easier for big companies to do business here in their country. And the question really is, where do you draw the line between making it easy for businesses versus, you know, giving them sweetheart deals?
Yeah. I think there are membership laws. If you want to join a club, for example, if you want to join an exclusive club in town, you got to dress well. and here is a company like Amazon or Apple trying to get into this club, dressing up shabbily in their sneakers and their singlets.
The hoodie,
without the black tie, right? So this is something of a black tie club into European Union, and there's a lot of rules that you have to follow, which I suppose led to the Brexit decision, that the UK did not want to comply with a lot of these rules, especially on immigration. The other rule is that I think, which is relevant in this case, is the fact that you cannot give unfair advantages to certain companies. Your tax rules must be equal to other members, must be followed by other members uniformly. And the moment you give a kind of subsidy, then you'll be considered as flouting the rules. I think there is a deficit ruling as well. Your budget deficit to the GDP cannot be above a certain percentage, 2%. There are inflation control rules as well, that your inflation cannot be higher than other countries. So all these rules have got to be taken together in order for you to maintain that membership in the EU. And the cost of leaving the EU, of course, is very, very costly. And that's what they're banking on as well, to prevent you from leaving.
Hashtag Brexit. Okay, let's move on to other stories. Visa is putting a Bitcoin-style network to work. It aims to take on the cross-border payments market. Now, this is a new offering that they will use technology that's developed with Chain Inc., which is a tech startup in which Visa is an investor.
So Chained, the Inc. Started off a few years ago in the San Francisco area, and they have raised a few million dollars from Visa, Capital One Corp, NASDAQ. Many of these are financial institutions, including City Ventures as well. And the Chained's software, it seems to be in sync with Visa Incorporated's background office, and they think that the synergy is going to be very, very fast if they actually introduce blockchain with Visa's infrastructure. So if the synergy is there, and we know that blockchain works on the software recognition of the both the users at both ends, it means it makes a lot of sense for Visa to actually roll this out very fast, very soon.
So the issue here is really about how to allow businesses which spend on big ticket items hundreds of millions at a time, sometimes even to the extent of billions, how to allow them to swipe that on a credit card, right? We know it's easy to allow consumers to do that, and some consumers are more special than others because they can swipe their card when buying a car or a private jet or something, right? How do you extend this to the corporate sector? It's not an easy thing to do. In fact, it's very risky if you allow a company to swipe $200 million, for example, right? It's not hard. And it's very risky for Visa as well to have those kind of infrastructural support that allows them to speedily and instantaneously do that, to have those kind of background checks. So blockchain comes in, which is a way of just authenticating the swiper of the credit card.
That's okay. Okay.
To do that. But, you know, in the wake of 78 to 80 million being stolen from Bitfinex, or the Bitcoin exchange in Hong Kong,
right,
whether this really tarnishes the reputation of the security of Bitcoins and blockchain technology.
So this is where I'm a little confused. I thought, I mean, SWIFT is already put in place, right? So they already have this the system for cross-border payments. So this is just an alternative, perhaps a new offering.
Actually, it's going to be rivaling SWIFT because the SWIFT messaging network is actually dominating the method for financial transactions between cross-border right now. However, there are limitations of the SWIFT messaging network in between financial institutions. And Julian is onto something here when he talks about big-ticket purchases. SWIFT still needs a lot of clearances for big-ticket purchases to happen. With blockchain, this can be negated quite fast, assuming that the authenticator approach has been proved by the swiper and also the financial institution. Remember, Visa is just a payment house. There still needs to be financial institutions using the Visa platform to connect it with the users. So in that sense, this will put SWIFT in a very uncomfortable position going forward.
I don't know what the swiper is the correct terminology, because it seems to me swiper feels like a thief. But, you know,
yes.
I know where you're...
Dora the Explorer.
Almost like a sniper.
Okay, in other news, Valeant Pharmaceuticals has cut its annual look again. Now, the drug company has signaled its turnaround may in fact take longer than expected. Here's Joseph Papa, the CEO of Valeant, who was hired back in May, talking about his plans for the group.
I've been in the pharmaceutical business for 35 years. And what I've always tried to do is go to the data, try to figure out what's there, what's not there, because that, to me, is the most important question. So I did my diligence, and I looked at Valeant from not just the level of the noise, because I hear a lot of news,
right,
you know, good and bad, but in terms of the growth, they've grown phenomenally in the 8 years that Mike was there. First thing I need to do is stabilize the company.
Right.
That's working with our employees, working with the physicians, making sure that we work with patients. I've got to get that stabilization. Then after that, I've got to turn it around. And that's going to be launching some of these new products. I've got to make sure that I take care of the debt holders. I'm comfortable. We've got a plan to take care of debt holders. And then, importantly, obviously, generate the total shareholder return.
That was Joseph Papa, the CEO of Valeant. Now, after they said that they cut their annual outlook, the shares of the company tumbled 25%, the stock's lowest point in 6 years, 1442.
Yeah, so the stock's tumbled 25% in this quarter, but the stock has lost more than 85% of its value this whole year. And, you know, Joseph Papa may have that kind of noble intentions to actually turn the company around, but in truth, he hasn't been able to do so, because for the third quarter, this company posted over $1 billion loss. They had to write down some of their stomach drug businesses, and they haven't got round to manage their health regulators, because health regulators are still delaying their decision on approving various experimental drugs, including the psoriasis drug, and even issued a warning letter for the company's New York office. So he's not doing that well in terms of making sure that the company is heading in the right direction.
Also, I think that Valeant is part of that M&A trend and wave that's happening around the world right now. It's one of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the world, and they have grown in the past through a lot of acquisitions. And if you don't make good on those acquisitions, you have to write a lot of the cost down. Added on top of their woes, I think what this election race has shown is that the pharmaceutical sector is a very controversial one, affecting people's right to health. The question of whether you have got to pay exorbitant prices for drugs is something that is fodder for the politicians really to talk about.
7:46 right now. We'll be back with more business news after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.